If we haven't met before, my name's Bevan, and it's my privilege to be able to share around the Word with you today. Are you excited to come around the Word? Are you ready to hear the Word this morning? Well, is there anybody here who loves shopping? Who loves a good sale? Yes. Does anyone partake of the annual event that we call Boxing Day Sales? No? I know that 10 years ago I might have. I think they've become quite a frenzy. But, you know, there's people that are very devoted to Boxing Day sales. You know, you'll stand in line for hours so that you can save 20%. You know, we line up at the checkout for 45 minutes because everybody else is there to save 20%. But in these moments, we're so wrapped up in the thing that we're looking for, that bargain, that sale, that nothing stands in the way of us getting to it. You know, it's a moment of devotion where we're devoted to a cause. You know, I think for many of us that our first encounter with God is incredible. And, you know, our lives are changed in an instant. You know, we're saved, we're redeemed, and we're on top of the world. You know, we fiercely pursue God, His will, His way for us, because we've experienced something so incredible in that moment. You know, our lives have been turned around 180 degrees. But who also knows that as life goes on, you know, things can get busy, priorities can change. And sometimes one of the things that we can lose in the process of life is part of our devotion to God. You know, I think of it like a fire. You know, when we first encounter Jesus, you know, we're set alight. You know, it's strong, the flame burns strong, but over time, if we don't spend time stoking it, putting more fuel on the fire, tending to it, you know, it can turn to embers. You know, embers of what was once something that burnt so strongly in us. And you know, if we read in the Bible from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Now, I'm just going to interject here for a moment to tell you a story. 18-year-old Bevan preached his first sermon at church on this scripture. Now, oh, there I am. That's me. That's actually from that very message. Yes. It's good, isn't it? It's good. And, you know, I'm notorious for not practicing speeches out loud, not practicing sermons out loud. And what I hadn't taken into consideration, particularly considering that I was 18 years old, is that in the response to the message that encouraging the church that God wants them to be hot Christians might be a little bit embarrassing for me. 18-year-old Bevan. So this morning I'm going to refrain from encouraging you to be a hot Christian, because that might be embarrassing for me and that might be embarrassing for you. But if we keep reading, it says, "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, with white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." You know, in this scripture, we see a reminder from God to us that we are called to live a life wholly devoted to Him. To not be lukewarm, but to keep the fire burning in us, to keep our devotion burning. We see that the church in Laodicea, they've become comfortable with what they have. You know, they've become comfortable in their wealth, in all that they have acquired, all they have achieved, that they slip into the thinking I don't need a thing. I don't need a thing. Not even God. You know, they'd forgotten who was the source of it all. Now, I think as life goes on, we can become like the Laodiceans. Like we have it all under control. Like we have everything together. You know, that's one of the reasons this scripture exists, to be a reminder to us, to keep the fire burning, to keep our devotion strong. You know, you might know the verse from Psalm 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, what an incredible scripture that points to God's protection for us, to God's peace, his joy, his provision. But on the other hand, we can become so comfortable with this. You know, we feel that because we don't want, that we also don't need. I don't know about you, but I need God. I need God. I need his strength. I need his joy, his peace, and I need his forgiveness. So this message today, it's a reminder for me, and it's a reminder for us to consider our devotion, to ask God to examine our hearts and to light the fire again, to put more fuel on the fire, to stoke it. You know, that scripture said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." You know, this comes from God's heart for us. You know, that we would live in his perfect will so that we can live in the fullness of life that God offers us. Now, Matthew 22 from verse 37 says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." You know, this call for us is to love God, not just with part of us, but with everything that we have, with all of us, that we would be found in a place of total devotion to God. You know, and when we talk about this, we're not just talking about what we do. You know, devotion is just not what we do, but it's all encompassing about who we are. You know, our heart, our soul, and our mind, every piece of us devoted to God. You know, the enemy will try to convince us that we can get by with partial devotion to God, keeping some parts of ourself to ourselves. You know, that we can give God our Sundays, but the rest of the week doesn't matter. You know, the seeds of doubt start to creep in. You know, did God really say? Did God really say? And you know, the things that used to be non-negotiables for us become sometimes things. You know, things that we indulge in a little bit. You know, maybe once you had a conviction about what you watch, about what you consume, about what you listen to, but over time we let little things in, and before we know it, where we were is a long way from where we are. Maybe we were in the habit of spending daily time in devotion and communion with God, but as life became busier, as we became more stressful, Netflix became more enticing. Maybe you used to tell people about your faith, but now you choose to keep it to yourself. You know, maybe your favorite musical artist, who, you know, they've released amazing music over the years, releases a new album that you know you shouldn't listen to, but out of loyalty to that artist, we choose to listen to it. You know, these little things in life, they can impact our devotion to God. Not overnight, but little by little. God is calling us to keep the fire burning, to remember our devotion to him. You know, hear my heart this morning, though. I'm not saying that our salvation is in limbo, because we're saved by faith and faith alone. But to live in the fullness of life that God has for us, we live devoted to him. So how do we maintain a life wholly devoted to God? The first thing is to relentlessly pursue the will of God. Relentlessly pursue the will of God. You know, I think often when we talk about the will of God, when we think about the will of God, we think about the big decisions in life. You know, we think about, where should I work? Who should I marry? Where should I live? What church should I go to? But can I encourage you that God's will is revealed in us through the decisions that we make each day? You know, how we reflect God's character in conversations, how we show kindness in difficult situations, you know, choosing to maintain our integrity even when no one's watching. This is relentlessly pursuing the will of God. Being wholly devoted is choosing to pursue God's will in every moment, in every day. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul puts it like this: I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, Paul's heart cry is to be on a continual journey of understanding God's will for his life. Now, Paul understood that he hadn't made it yet. You know, the idea of being good enough wasn't part of Paul's vocabulary. You know, our salvation story begins with our understanding that we need a Savior. We can never be good enough to earn God's love, but he chooses to give it to us freely anyway. You know, we're not perfect. That's a fact. And Jesus did what we couldn't do. You know, we don't earn our salvation through what we do, but the Spirit that God has put in us gives us a desire to become more like Jesus so that we can be a more effective witness to the world around us of the hope of God, of the love of God. And this requires us to stand firm and be intentional about relentlessly pursuing God's will for us. Now, Ephesians 3 from verse 18 says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." You know, God's will for us is to be made complete in the fullness of life that God offers us, the fullness of God's power that is available to us. And that is found by relentlessly pursuing God's will for our lives. You know, this scripture makes it available to us. Now, by pressing into God and his love, that we can experience the fullness of his character, of his desire for our lives. But I think sometimes we choose to settle for part of it, to settle for half of it. You know, I know God's will for me is to not get angry in certain situations, but you know, that's just the way I am. You know, I know God's will for me is to be kind, but, you know, it's not just not part of my personality. You know, I know God's will for me is to share my story, but I'm too introverted. You know, I know God's will for me is to prosper, to be able to find peace and joy in him, but I don't deserve it because of the things that I have done. You know, we don't have to settle for lies like that. They're not the truth. The truth is that through the love of God that he offers us fullness of life, fullness of power. You know, we can understand that God's will for us is so much greater than sometimes the things we believe about ourselves. You know, there's something so powerful about allowing ourselves to be refined by the Holy Spirit, submitting ourselves to the will of God, and having a heart understanding that his way for us is better. So being wholly devoted is relentlessly pursuing the will of God. You know, and it's also choosing to lay down idols. Choosing to lay down idols. You know, when we talk about this, I think sometimes we think of statues. You know, we think of monuments and, you know, I don't have any statues in my house. But when we think about idols, let's think about the things that compete for God's place in our life. You know, the things that garner our attention, that take our inclination away from God and redirect it somewhere else. or the things that try to replace God's voice in our lives. You know, Tim Keller described an idol as anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. You know, I want to encourage us today that knowing God, knowing who He is, does not equal devotion to Him. You know, Romans 1 verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. Now, there's a difference between knowing who God is and choosing to put Him in the place above everything else in our lives. You know, maybe it's not a nice thought. It's not a nice thing to think about, but it's my heart that I never end up there, but that I keep my devotion to God. Because it's not enough for me to just know who God is. It's my heart to ensure that God remains the priority of my life, the focus of my attention, the recipient of all of my worship, and the one who my life glorifies. You know, but there's so many things in our lives that can compete for that attention. Now, 1 Kings chapter 12 from verse 26 says, Jeroboam thought to himself, unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead. So on the advice of his counselors, the king made 2 gold calves. And he said to the people, it is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt. You know, when I read this, I see that Jeroboam has one thing in mind, and that's maintaining his role as king and keeping the allegiance of the people. You know, for him, his own ambition, his own ego, his role had become an idol, and it was placed higher in his life than God and God's will. So what did he do? He sought counsel. And was it good counsel? It wasn't good counsel. You know, where do you seek counsel? You know, can we suggest today that maybe the places that we seek counsel can become idols in our lives? Who is the voice of truth in your life? Because it matters who we listen to, who we let speak into our lives. You know, the Bible encourages us to seek wise counsel, but seek God first. You know, what we see is Jeroboam appealed to the people's convenience. You know, it's too much trouble. It's too much trouble to go to Jerusalem. It's easier just to stay here, to not go out of our way to worship God, and to redirect our devotion to these golden calves. You know, I might call that lukewarm. I might call that lukewarm faith. You know, they got to the point that they were redirecting their prior God-given victories to something completely different, to 2 golden calves. You know, they forgot what God had done for them. You know, it's so important that we don't forget what God has done for us. That we keep Him at the center and that we choose to lay down idols, the things that want to esteem themselves above God in our lives. So what might this look like for us? Well, it's probably not a calf made of gold. But do we look for validation through social media? Do we look for identity through our work? Do we look for guidance and insight and for the future in dark spiritual places? You know, do we seek the endless supply of self-help books without inviting God into the conversation? Do we look for convenient answers to the questions, for the things that we're wrestling with, without seeking God, our Creator? You know, there's a shop in Geelong called the Spiritual Convenience Store. And You know, maybe in some ways it's funny because of our understanding, but the world will try to sell us a spiritual convenience. You know, these things can feel like they answer our inner desires. It's convenient. You know, they soothe us for a moment, but in reality, they draw us away from God. And they cause us to find satisfaction in the complete opposite direction. You know, a question that I want to ask us today is, do you have something in your life that you consider your escape? Do you have something in your life that you say brings you the most joy? Now that, on its own, that's not an idol. But if we follow it up by asking, is it redeeming? Does that thing that I turn to bring me closer to God, or does it draw me away? You know, we're encouraged to by the Bible to enjoy our lives, to find rest, to find rejuvenation. It's important. But when our escapes in life become the thing that we seek above all else, to find our peace, to find our happiness, then maybe we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to find it in God and God alone. Now, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. You know, I want to encourage you today that that thing that you're seeking can only be found by taking delight in God, by placing our devotion upon our God. You know, I can try all I want to replace God's place in my life, but ultimate fulfillment, ultimate fullness of life is found in God and God alone. You know, sometimes the places that we look for to find freedom in our lives can be the very place that holds us captive. You know, because a life wholly devoted to God, it puts God first and it lays down idols. Now, can I encourage you this morning, if this conversation stirs something in you, that it's worth exploring? Take it to God. You know, ask him to reveal the truth. You know, am I getting agitated this morning because I didn't have breakfast? It might be that. Or am I getting agitated this morning because God wants to do a work inside of my life? You know, how do I keep God at the center? Remember, knowing God does not equal devotion to him. You know, understanding God's power and even desiring it does not equal devotion. You know, when was the last time you prayed purely out of devotion to God? When was the last time you worshiped simply to bring God glory? You know, when was the last time you devoted yourself to fasting? Not because you were believing for something, but just to draw closer to him. When was the last time that you brought God into the conversation with Christian friends and had true fellowship? You know, these things that we talk about, they're not means to an end. They're our devotion to God, but they can become a means to an end for us. You know, relationship with God and closeness with him is the goal. You know, the process itself is not the goal. You know, we can choose to lay down idols and keep God at the center. Now, the third and last thing, to live a life wholly devoted, is living a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, living a life wholly devoted is one that surrendered to God's will, pursues God's will, puts God in his rightful place in our lives, but also one that relies on him for his empowerment. You know, allow the Holy Spirit to bring guidance, to bring wisdom, and to bring power to your life. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know, the fight we fight is spiritual. You know, we don't do it all in the natural with our actions. The fight is spiritual. And we can stand firm this morning knowing that God's Spirit is in us. You know, it's a spiritual battle. So we must be equipped spiritually. You know, and if it's a spiritual battle, of course we can't overcome it on our own. Of course we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the things that we come up against in our lives. Now, John 16:33 says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You know, our God, the focus of our devotion, he has overcome the world. You know, there is no power on earth that is more powerful than our God. That's the God who we serve. That's the God whose Spirit resides in us. And we can live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians 5 from verse 15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the answer's right there. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, we need the power of the living God. Instead, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, can I invite the worship team to come? You know, put yourself in a situation. You're running late for work. Always running late. Maybe I'll talk to you then. Running late to work. The clock's ticking and you catch every red light on the way. I feel like the later you are, the more red lights you get. And not only that, you get cut off. Someone cuts you off. Of course, I want to be frustrated. Of course, I want to be angry. Of course, I want to be impatient. But do I respond in my flesh? Or having been filled with the Holy Spirit, do I answer with patience, with peace, with self-control, reflecting the character of God at work in me? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, what is the limit of my devotion? You know, am I devoted until I'm challenged about my faith in the workplace? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, am I devoted until my family questions my faith? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, am I devoted until my situation is too big for me to overcome on my own? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just about an emotional experience. It's not about making us feel good. But we receive the very power of God that enables us to stand holy, devoted in what is a spiritual battle. You know, it's what equips us. It's what empowers us to live the life that God has called us to. You know, there's moments in life that are genuinely overwhelming. There's moments in life where things go wrong, where we experience hardship, where we feel anxious. And being filled with the Spirit doesn't cause us to sidestep these experiences. It doesn't cause us to escape the emotions that we feel because they're natural. But it does give us a peace that surpasses understanding. It does give us a strength that can only come from God. It does give us a sense of comfort from the Holy Spirit, our guide and our counselor. Now, the Holy Spirit in us prepares us for these moments so that we can rely on His power. You know, it's been said many times before that our devotion to God can be compared to digging wells. Has anyone dug a well? I'm glad. It doesn't sound very fun. But when we draw close to God, He draws near to us. You know, when I think about a well, you have to dig a fair way before you hit the spring, before you hit the water. So if I only dig a well when I need it, when I feel like I need it, then it's much harder. I have to dig deeper. I have to search longer. But if I'm constantly spending time in devotion to God, constantly digging wells, then His power is available. That on my best days, that I would draw from the wellspring of life that God has for me, and that on my worst days, I would draw from the wellspring of life that God has for me. You know, God is calling for us to dig wells of devotion to Him. So as we come toward the end this morning, you know, Ephesians 3:18-19 again. It says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." You will be made complete in the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's God's will for us this morning. You know, we're called to relentlessly pursue God's will for our lives. We're called to lay down our idols and keep God at the center. And we're called to live a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, can I invite you to stand this morning? Because our response to this today is that God is calling us to renew our devotion to Him. You know, a moment of consecration where we say, "God, I want to be set apart by You for Your glory. I want to be refined by You, not by my own strength, but by Your power and Your power alone." So our answer this morning, it was toward the end of Revelation 3. The first is to be earnest, to show an intense conviction that, "God, I want to be devoted to You. God, I choose to lay down my life before You." You know, the second is to be repentant. You know, I think sometimes repentance can get a bad rap because that's only something that people that don't believe in Jesus do. Repentance is something that we can do more than once. You know, it's where we reorientate ourselves back towards God's best for us. And the more often that you do it, the easier it is. The more often you do it, the smaller the corrections are. It's an attitude of surrender to God, saying, "God, remove in me anything that is not of You. God, keep me in Your will. God, I'm desperate for You to keep me in Your will." You know, David said in the Psalms, "Create in me a clean heart." That is my prayer this morning, that God, You would create in me a clean heart. And the last thing is that God invites us to commune with Him, to spend time with Him in His presence. That we would open our hearts to Him, allow Him to speak to us, allow the Holy Spirit to do an inner work in us, to do what only He can do, to heal us, to strengthen us, to give us clarity. So we're going to sing this morning. And this is our response, that we would say, "God, my whole life is for Your glory. God, I choose to lay it down again." This is a moment where we can dig wells. We can dig wells for us, for our families, for our households, for our community. That we would make God the center of our devotion. So whatever God is speaking to you about, can I encourage you to open your heart, to allow this moment of reorientation. You know, we're going to sing, and if you need to respond to this message, if you need to take a step, a bold step of faith, the altar's open this morning to respond and say, "God, I'm not going to let staying in my seat be the limit of my devotion today. God, I'm stepping out as an act of devotion. I'm laying my life down at the altar again. Search me. God, would you give me a clean heart? So as we start to sing, if you feel God is stirring something in you, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. To say, God, would you be the center? God, would you be the center? We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.